Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today. The holidays can be a tricky time of year. For some, it's about balancing family schedules, figuring out which side of the family you're going to visit on what day, and how long you're going to stay for. But for some, there's a lot of pain involved. For some of you who are listening, you might be separated from your spouse right now, and we understand how hard that can be, especially in this season. It seems like everyone else has the Christmas spirit, and all it does is make you sad, sometimes even angry. And you know what? It's okay to feel that way. On today's episode of Relationship Radio, we're talking about how to navigate the holiday season while separated. We'll give you insights and practical steps, as well as a special Black Friday offer for you at the end on this episode of Relationship Radio.
You know, some people look forward to holidays. This is the time when we get together, we have a lot of fun, we sing songs, we eat a whole lot of food. Oh, and especially that dessert is amazing. But there are some people who dread it. The people who typically dread holidays are those who are typically having wonderful times with their family, but now that's changed. Either we are separated but living in the same house and hardly talking to each other, or one of us is now living someplace else, or one of us might even be living with somebody else while still married to me, and my children, if you have them, myself, etc. The whole world has been upended, and how in the world can we get through Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's when everybody else is celebrating, and I'm basically sitting here having a pity party? Well, do you realize that typically January is the month where the most number of people file for divorce? You say, why? Because they go through that miserable period of those holidays. Is there a better way to deal with those holidays? Absolutely. Let's talk about it. Hi, I'm Dr. Joe Bean with Marriage Helper. I'm here with Kimberly Holmes, our CEO. Kimberly, you've actually done some work into this, right? Not just reading about it and research, but interacting with people. Why do holidays create such sadness for people when they're in a relationship difficulty?
Yeah, well, because it's supposed to be the time of happiness, of those fond memories from when you were a kid, all of those things. And now there's a sense of loss, especially if you're separated. Mm. Even if you're not separated physically, if there's been an emotional separation, if you fear that divorce is coming, then you're kind of just waiting for the shoe to drop. And you can't really enjoy the happiness of the holidays and the family time that you're supposed to be having. And it just adds extra stress.
I guess it could even add apprehension to the kids if they sense what's going on. And that makes it even more stressful, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you have children.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we say, yes, the holidays are happy times, period. But also the stress of just the family gatherings in general, even for a good marriage, sometimes is enough to lead people to drink. But during the holidays, as you said, a lot of people, they just try and get one more Christmas together as a family before filing for divorce in January. And many times there's one of the spouses who's not 100% sure that's going to happen. So there's just a lot of that nervous anxiety and apprehension throughout the entire season.
Mm-hmm. So how do you not let yourself become so depressed or anxious through there? I realize that's a natural human reaction, but what can somebody do? But when things aren't working like I want them to, what can they do to at least offset this, if not overcome it?
Yeah. Well, I do think it's important to allow yourself to feel the feelings in an appropriate way, because
what does that mean, appropriate way?
Yeah. So the more that you try and just kind of push it down and say, I'm going to soldier through this, you know, I'm just going to get through, it's going to continue to well up within you. It's going to continue to make you on edge, irritated, all of those things. Whereas if you allow yourself, let's just say an evening, and if you have kids, maybe you ask the grandparents to take them or your sister or someone who can watch the kids for that evening, and just allow yourself to sit without turning to distractions, without turning to food, turning on TV, and just allow yourself to feel the emotions and to process.
Rather than trying to escape them, you
exactly.
embrace them.
process them. Mm. Process how you're feeling in the moment and just come to terms with the acceptance of, I wish this wasn't happening. This wouldn't be the way that I would choose for things to happen right now. But can I get to the point where I can at least accept this is how things are? And that's all I can do.
And you would recommend that they do that alone?
Yes. I mean, I would recommend that you not do that in front of your kids or in front of your spouse. I would recommend that you do that either by yourself or, I mean, if you have a mentor or a coach or a counselor that you feel comfortable and safe going to and processing those emotions, then that can be healthy as well. But even sometimes people turn, they kind of make that their next distraction. Like, I'm going to go to this person and have them comfort and soothe me. And the idea isn't that we stay here. This is just a first.
Something you just need to go through. And so if your best friend or your mentor were there, you might want to say, just be with me.
Yeah.
Listen when I talk, be quiet when but don't tell me everything's going to be okay. Just let me process this. And it'd be okay to weep.
Yeah.
It'd be okay to shout.
Yeah.
What wouldn't be okay in that situation, in all likelihood, is alcohol.
Yeah, right. Alcohol, emotional eating, things that are going to become a habit loop that you turn to help you, distract you from those emotions. That's what we want to avoid. And this doesn't even have to be a whole, I mean, I know I said a whole evening. This could be 5 minutes where you go in your closet and you just take some deep breaths, sit with your emotions, and just allow yourself to process how you currently feel without trying to make yourself feel better.
Yeah. But don't try to be high or drunk or anything like that.
Right.
Deal with it in reality.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, that makes sense. What else?
So then from there, the idea is, what can you do to physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually be your best self throughout this holiday season? Because the only person that you can control is you. You can't control what your spouse does. You can't control what their family does. None of those things. So physically, it's really important and healthy to move your body, especially if you are experiencing what we would call maybe little T trauma, where you feel overwhelmed and powerless. You're overwhelmed by the situation you're in and you're powerless to do anything about it. Then moving your body actually helps your body to process overwhelming feelings so that you don't hold them
in. Moving means what?
Well, it's going to differ on every person. If you're a person who is an avid exerciser, then it may be that you go run or you go lift weights. If you're not someone who's an avid exerciser, it may mean you go for a walk. It may mean you join a Zumba class, do something that's appropriate for your athletic ability level and, you know, all of those things, and something that you would enjoy doing. And a lot of times people hear that and think, but I don't want to exercise because I don't enjoy it, period. Well, you got to pick something, because this is the way to help your body process emotions physically. And it can help to release some of that tension. And it can even just help your brain to process things better, deal with emotions and emotionally regulate as well.
Oh, see, I have this mental picture suddenly of somebody walking the neighborhood in the evening and seeing the Christmas lights and getting more depressed. So how would you balance those kind of things out?
Well, then go to a gym and walk on a treadmill.
So you got to consider that I need to figure the best place, time to do this that won't discourage me more.
Yeah. And if you're thinking, because there's a lot of times the moms, the stay-at-home moms will say, but I don't have time for myself. Well, then turn on like a YouTube Zumba thing and have a dance party in the living room with the kids. You can definitely include the kids in this. But the idea is just you're doing something to move your body and get some of these feelings out. The other key part when it comes to the physical part is getting enough sleep. Especially throughout the holidays, especially because drinking alcohol can really inhibit sleep and how the good quality of sleep you get. You know, all of the food that we're eating, especially the closer you're eating to bedtime, can affect your sleep. Here's why you want to get good sleep, because it helps you to emotionally regulate.
But isn't that the kind of thing that keeps them from going to sleep? The fact that their emotions are on edge.
Oh yeah, no, I realize this is a total catch 22, but the thing is, there's an awareness to, I need to get sleep because it's actually going to help me, as opposed that can at least help someone begin to have positive behaviors of trying to prioritize sleep instead of just sitting up and not sleeping because they don't know what to do. So the first part of this is you need to sleep. Like, this is important and it's going to actually help you in the long term. So what are some things you can do? So you can begin to do, I mean, just key things, and I'll there's a whole toolkit inside of our Save My Marriage membership where I go much deeper into all of this. But if you're going to shoot for 7 to 8 hours, then start by creating a bedtime. I want to go to bed by 10. I want to wake up at 6. Adhere to that. Begin doing things before bedtime that are going to be calming. So don't engage in a fight. Don't try and look at social media to see what your spouse is doing. Like, don't do those things before bed because it's going to emotionally rile you up. Instead, focus on doing some more calming things. Maybe it's taking a hot shower or taking a hot bath, which can actually, ironically, it helps to decrease your core body temperature once you get out. And when your core body temperature decreases, it helps you to go to sleep quicker. So all of those things, sleeping in a cooler room, not looking at your phone, you know, late into the night because the blue light suppresses the melatonin from helping you go to sleep. So those are just key things you can do to set yourself up for the most success. Not drinking caffeine after 2 p.m.
That makes sense. I just had a cup of coffee and it's after 2 p.m. I may be in trouble here. Half calf. I remember reading somewhere not long ago, I researched that, if I remember the number correctly, it was 65 degrees. That people who sleep with their bedroom at 65 degrees actually start losing weight. That there's a correlation between that. I think that was the number. It was somewhere around 65.
That sounds about right. There's definitely research out there about how the colder you are when you sleep, it burns. I think it's the brown adipose tissue, which is the fat tissue. Anyway.
What did you just call me? What's that? So it's good. All those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But then we have, go ahead. Anything else you want to say about that?
Those are some key things. I don't know that we have time to go through all of those areas of the pies, but just in general, what are the things that you can do that can help keep you grounded, calm, and focused during this holiday season is really the idea.
Okay. And if you're a religious person, focusing on prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just laments, like, here's how sad I am, but on praying for other people as well, even doing things for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay, kids, we know this family lives down the street. They don't have much money. Let's figure out what we're going to get for them. You go with me. So all kinds of activities.
Yep.
But one of the questions we're going to always get is, okay, my spouse is involved with blank, and my spouse wants to bring blank over for Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas so that my spouse can be around the kids, but he's insisting or she's insisting the other person come too. Would we suggest, let them come, or would we suggest something different to that?
We would suggest something different.
Okay, what would we suggest?
Well, we would suggest that the kids try and be protected as much as possible, especially during the holiday time, because this is when they're creating some of their core memories that they're going to remember going forward. So the first conversation we would recommend having is with the husband in this situation and saying, hey, I understand this is what you want to do, but can we at least agree that through the holiday season that we are going to do what's best for the kids in this situation and not bring in affair partners or things like that?
Because right now we need the kids to feel some degree of security during the holidays. So as much as you might want the children to be around the other person, can we agree that at least for now? Mm-hmm. Now, the other person might not agree. So you might wind up making some kind of a compromise, like, but you're not bringing her or him here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have that memory in my children's heads.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you want to spend some time with the kids in the holiday, we can arrange that to happen. And I realize he or she may be there, but we're not going to build a program in their minds where that happens here. Mm-hmm. We want their memories of their growing up home to be about a family.
Right.
Okay. And so you say, well, what if the other person then wants to bring his or her companion to a gathering of family people? Should I encourage that or discourage that?
Why would someone encourage it?
I know that sometimes people do, in the sense that, okay, Charlie wants to bring Anne with him to the big family gathering. There'll be about 100 people there. And he just said, I'm going to do that. How should I respond?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I guess you're right. There might be some times where people think, well, if I'm nice to them and don't put up a fight, then they're going to see how great I am and want to come back to me. And that's where we would say it's important that there's certain pushes we talk about that you shouldn't do, and there's certain ones that you should do. And ones where it's going to look like you're enabling a behavior that clearly is destructive to the marriage is an appropriate time for you to say, I'm not okay with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's put the next part to it, though. we're estranged. My husband or wife lives over there, and they want to come to the big gathering alone. Does that change the picture?
Well, absolutely.
In what way?
Well, because they're not bringing their lover into the family reunion.
And so in that case, you would invite them.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's right. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know. It may be a little like I'm endorsing what he's doing or she's doing if I invite them to or am in favor of them coming. And the way I look at that is I remember years ago, a couple that was in pretty serious trouble, and her, the wife's mother, died. Mm. And she contacted her husband, they weren't divorced at the time, mm-hmm. and said, you are not allowed to come to the funeral or to the graveyard. And you say, that's her right. Absolutely, it's her right. But they were already in trouble. Mm-hmm. And what that did to his psyche was fascinating. He went a couple of days after her burial to the gravesite so he could have his goodbyes to her because he liked the woman. They'd been friends. And so be careful that you're thinking, I'm standing up for myself because I'm excluding my spouse from this. Be careful that it's not really excluding your spouse to the point where they think, I no longer have value.
Yeah.
Need to think that thing through. Now, if he or she gets drunk at every party and they want to come to your party, that's a different consideration. It's like, okay, but, you know, we can't have this, that, or the other. Well, should you buy a present for them if you're separated?
That is a very common question.
We get
question
asked that all the time.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, isn't that one of those questions where it's like, it depends on a lot of things. Probably how I would recommend answering that question is, can you give it to them without any expectations of them doing or saying anything back? And if so, and it's an appropriate present, you know, it's not this engraved cross-stitching saying, I love you and I want you back, please take me.
Yes, it's got to be objective. It can't be personal.
Right. Mm-hmm. But objective, even in the sense of, you know, what their favorite football team is and you get them something in that, then yes, I believe that's appropriate. But the goal is if your hopes and dreams will be shattered, if you give it to them and they don't respond, even with a thank you, then maybe you shouldn't give it to them.
Good advice. That's great advice. If you give it with the belief that no positive consequence is going to come from it. You said, then why would I give it to them? That's the question. If you're giving it to them because you want them to have it and that makes you feel good that they get it, go ahead. But it can't be lingerie. It can't be a big candy heart. It can't be those things. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to enjoy giving it to them for you, do so. If you're giving it to them because you're trying to make them feel something toward you, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
I would agree.
A lot of other things we could talk about, but we're out of time.
I think that was a good overview.
We look forward to talking to you next time on Relationship Radio.
Well, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Relationship Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. We read everyone and we love hearing from you. Also consider sending this to a family member or a friend or anyone you think might need to hear it. As promised, as a dedicated listener of Relationship Radio, we have a special Black Friday offer for you. Right now, you can get the Smart Contact Toolkit revamped and revitalized for only $27. That's more than half off of the original price. To gain access to the Smart Contact Toolkit at $27, all you have to do is head to marriagehelper.com/BF23. Again, that's marriagehelper.com/BF23. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. And remember, there's always hope.